A new government report suggests that Oregon's beaches are eroding faster of late due to less sand being deposited by rivers, rising sea levels, and some bigger ocean waves. It's a dramatic reversal since the 1960s. Joining us this morning is Professor Peter Ruggiero of Oregon State University. He is with the College of Earth, Ocean, and Atmospheric Sciences and the lead author on this study. Welcome to the exchange this morning.
Thanks very much.
Tell me a little bit about what's happening to Oregon beaches.
Well, it really depends upon where you are, first and foremost. Oregon's beaches are, for the most part, broken up into different compartments, in which we call littoral cells. And so we have a lot of major kind of rock headlands that separate sandy beaches in between them. And so kind of depending upon where you are and which littoral cell you are in, you have potentially for very different shoreline change rates. But at least along the central and northern Oregon coast, there's several of these littoral cells that are in are experiencing quite significant shoreline change rates in the last couple of decades.
We talked about some of the reasons just in a brief overview there. Why is there a less sediment flow now?
Well, it's really a variety of reasons. Oregon has many estuaries along the coastline, about 40 estuaries, maybe 11 or 12 of which have jetties on them. But the vast majority of the estuaries are drowned river valleys. In general, they haven't been delivering a lot of sand in recent decades to centuries relative to what they were delivering prior to when sea level was at the stand that it is now. And so those rivers, they might be delivering sediment, but a lot of that sediment gets trapped in the estuaries where there's relatively low flow. And in some cases, the estuaries may actually be sinks of sediment where ocean sands come into the estuaries via tidal flows. It's quantifying those rates, those fluxes of sediment between rivers to estuary and to the ocean is quite a difficult thing, and was not the real focus of this study. This study was really focused on the outer coastal beaches and the rates of change that they're experiencing, and then now we're speculating on some of the reasons why we're seeing these changes.
Rising sea levels, we've heard a lot in recent years about climate change and how that might affect that. Is that at play here?
It is probably at a relatively modest role. One of the very interesting things that we have along our coastline here in Oregon is we have very variable rates along the coastline in terms of the rates of how fast the sea is rising relative to the land. And the reason for that is that we have a very interesting tectonic setting. I'm sure most of your listeners are aware that we live in a subduction zone area where we have our continental plate being subducted against underneath the oceanic plate. And every few hundred years, that represents itself in terms of a dramatic earthquake, a subduction zone earthquake associated with tsunamis and even land lowering during those events. So those are quite dramatic every few hundred years. In the intervening years, what the land does is it rises at relatively modest rates. And those rates are comparable in some places to how fast the sea is actually rising. And so from a coastal hazards perspective, a coastal change perspective, at kind of time scales that kind of people care about in terms of, going to the coastline during, for tourism or for living or planning coastal communities, what we're really interested in is the relative sea level rise rate. So that's the difference between how fast the water is rising and how fast the land is rising. Now, because of that complicated tectonic setting, in parts of the Oregon coast, particularly the southern Oregon coast and some small sections up by the Columbia River, the land is actually rising faster than the sea is rising. And so those areas are actually experiencing kind of an emergent coastline. And in those areas, as you might expect, the coastal change hazards, the shoreline change rate that we've been quantifying, they're relatively low. But in areas, again, as I said earlier, much of the central and northern Oregon coast, those are areas where the land is rising a little bit less rapidly, and the sea is rising faster than that. And again, the rates are relatively modest, but that relative sea level rise rate is around a millimeter or 2 millimeters per year over the last several decades, the centuries. And those are the areas that we're actually experiencing some of the greatest coastal change hazard. So if you kind of step back and look at the entire state, the kind of a longshore variant shoreline change rates does mirror this kind of a longshore variant relative sea level rate at kind of a broad scale. Now, there's a lot of variability when you get down to the details, but that's a decent first-order estimate of some of the reasons why we're experiencing these issues.
We're also seeing some stronger storms, especially in the winter months, aren't we? Is that creating, like, bigger waves to work on the shoreline?
Yeah, that's correct. There's actually been quite a few folks in Oregon that have been studying that issue. Some colleagues, Paul Comar and Jonathan Allen, who's at the Department of Geology for the state of Oregon, looked at that issue in the early 2000s, and they were among the first people to notice the eastern North Pacific wave climate seemed to be getting bigger. And we'd actually looked at the waves back in the 90s and kind of quantified some of the extreme conditions that we'd expect during kind of major winter storms. And then it turned out that in the major El Nino year of 97-98 and then the following winter, there were about five storms that were bigger than what we had quantified, where it was going to be the kind of the 100-year return level storm event. So that's kind of equivalent to the 100-year flood in terms of maybe rivers. So we had quantified that, what we thought that was going to be based upon the wave data we had at the time, and then we had about five events bigger than the 100-year flood, and so these researchers, you know, figured something was up. So they went back and looked in detail at all of the wave buoys along the west coast of the United States, and they found a pretty interesting result that at least in off the coast of from basically Northern California up through Washington, that the wave heights were actually getting bigger over the last couple of decades. There was a steady increase in waves. Now, we revisited that with another study that came out in 2010, and we kind of just basically updated the record through, you know, basically the late 2000s. We found basically the same result, that the waves, you know, from the time that we first started making measurements, which is basically late 70s, early 80s, that the buoy-measured waves, so these are wave heights that are measured by buoys that government agencies have off the coast, had been getting bigger with time. And one of the, I guess, the more alarming parts of that was that so that the mean kind of overall for the whole year wave height was getting bigger by about a couple of centimeters per year. But if you looked at just the winter average wave heights, you know, the bigger waves during the stormy season, those were getting bigger at a faster rate. And if we looked at just the most extreme, so the biggest couple of storm events per year, those waves were actually getting bigger the fastest. And so the bigger waves were getting bigger faster. And that has implications for coastal change and coastal hazards as well. And one thing that we've done in the last couple of years is looked at just asking the very simple question, what's the relative role of sea level rise at the rates that we've been experiencing it versus the role of wave heights getting bigger and in terms of increasing coastal change and coastal flood hazards? And we approached that problem in with some pretty simple models, but we found that certainly in areas where, like much of Oregon, where the relative sea level rise rate is relatively small, it doesn't take very much in terms of a wave height increase, the modest rate that we've seen off the coast in the last couple of decades, that could actually have a bigger impact on coastal hazards than sea level rise alone. And it's really the combination of the two factors, the, you know, sea level coming up at a slight rate, wave heights getting bigger. And the reason why the waves are getting bigger is obviously during the big storm events, you know, you can imagine that's when a lot of the erosion takes place. Really, when waves propagate across the near shore and they start breaking, that pushes actually a big pulse of water up onto the beach. And basically, in effect, it's another kind of factor in sea level rise. I mean, the wave-induced water levels push water higher, and that allows waves to attack the toe of sand dunes, overtop low-lying coastal areas, maybe attack sea cliffs, et cetera. And so it's really that combination of the wave height increases and the sea level rise that is, you know, probably causing at least some of the increased erosion that we've seen.
We're talking about Oregon's beach erosion, and joining us this morning is Professor Peter Rogero of Oregon State University, a lead author on a study in this. If you have a question, you can call us at 800-838-3760 in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Which beaches are suffering the worst erosion right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. And again, it's for the most part, some of the kind of central to northern Oregon coastlines, and you know the issue with those is that they have relatively at least some of them have some high populations, several coastal villages along the coastline, as well as these high rates. And so, I would say the county that is experiencing the most extreme coastal change hazards, at least in the last couple of decades, is probably Tillamook County, and that's exemplified by the community of Neskowin, which is right in the southern part of that county, just north of Cascade Head, a spectacular coastal headland in Oregon. That community of Neskowin, really since kind of the mid 90s, has experienced much faster rates of coastal change than they had experienced prior to that. And so a lot of sand that was kind of caught up in sand dunes, kind of relatively big, wide beaches, started eroding. Much of that sand probably went offshore and to the north. Actually, about 10, 15 kilometers north of there is a community called Pacific City, and they're actually the recipients of a lot of the sand from Neskowin. But unfortunately for the folks in Neskowin, those beaches were eroding very rapidly, and many of the much of the infrastructure was in jeopardy of being lost to potential erosion. And so a lot of that coastline has armored itself with coastal engineering structures like riprap, seawalls, et cetera.
How does our erosion compare, say, to the rest of the country?
That's another good question. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it's quite variable along the coast of Oregon. And so in places, like parts of Tillamook County, it is certainly comparable in terms of the problems that other folks are having elsewhere. However, I would say overall, again, because of the fact that we have this tectonic uplift, and that's basically been kind of minimizing the negative impacts of sea level rise, probably the issues that we're dealing with are probably not as extreme as places like Southern California, or for that matter, a lot of the East and Gulf coasts. And part of that is the differences in the kinds of storms that we experience here on this coast than on those coasts. We have some of the biggest, some of the strongest storms. We've got one of the biggest wave climates in the world. It's not uncommon for us to get storm waves that are over 30 to 40 feet during the wintertime. However, our storms are very different than the tropical cyclones like hurricanes that are experienced on the Gulf and East Coast, where when those things occur, they have incredibly dramatic coastal impacts. And the main reason for that, and I'm thinking about events like Sandy and Katrina and Hurricane Rita over the last decade or so, those events are slower moving, they blow wind over much longer regions, and they result in a very high storm surge. And so that's basically a super elevation of the water level as the storm comes across the continent. And if folks remember from, again, Hurricane Katrina and then Hurricane Sandy just over a year ago, that storm surge can be on the order of, several feet to tens of feet, depending upon the event. Now, we don't get that kind of storm here in the Pacific Northwest. We get these huge wave events, but the storm surges are relatively modest. They're rarely over about 2 to 3 feet in magnitude. And so that, we don't have these dramatic events where we have barriers breaching and, complete devastation of the kind of the coastline that we have during the hurricanes.
Steve is on the line from Eugene with a question. Go ahead, Steve.
One of the contributing factors to the disappearance of the Mississippi Delta is the extensive levees and dams and dredging that go on upriver. And though we don't have a bunch of levees in Oregon, we do have a plethora of dams. I wonder how deeply that is affecting our coastline. And secondly, I've been waiting for decades for the Salishan Spit to wash away with all their multi-million dollar houses built upon the sand. And I'm wondering how likely that is.
Two great questions. I'll start with the second one. The first, the Salishan Spit, probably one of the reasons why it hasn't happened yet. I mean, that's an area that has had in the past extreme erosion issues. My understanding is that the vast majority of the Salishan Spit now is armored. Again, most of the homeowners, community members have built kind of rock seawalls fronting the infrastructure on that spit. And so that's probably in the past has significantly helped prevent erosion and overtopping of that. However, you know, that's unless that material gets maintained, that seawall gets maintained, then, you know, with sea level rise, you know, on the course of years to decades, then potentially that erosion might pop up again at South Shan Spit. So it's probably been protected because of human-induced you know, coastal engineering structures. In terms of the influence of, you know, human levees, dams, and things in kind of the hinterland in terms of reducing sediment load, that's definitely a big issue. Certainly along the Columbia River, which is, you know, historically been the biggest sediment source for the Pacific Northwest region for millennia. That source of sediment, at least over the last several thousand years, has only delivered sediment as far south into Oregon as Tillamook Head, but it delivers sediment to Washington over that time period. We've extensively dammed. I mean, there's something like 500 major dams along the Columbia River Basin, and also you know, just a significant amount of just flow regulation. And what the major influence of that is, it has reduced the flow significantly. It's the major part of that is to prevent floods, and sediment transport has been reduced. And so the amount of sediment being delivered to the Columbia River estuary is, you know, around an order of magnitude less than it was prior to the human influence upstream. And that definitely has an impact in terms of how much sediment then gets to the beaches. And it's interesting, we've spent quite a bit of time looking at the beaches around the Columbia River, and that was the first hypothesis when we started seeing erosion in areas just north and south of the Columbia River, was that finally the effects of dams and the lack of sediment coming down the river was the major player there. Well, it turns out that the other thing that we did along the coastline there is built a couple of big jetties to allow for navigation in and out of the Columbia River. And that's something we've done up and down the coast. There's many jettied inlets in Oregon as well. And it turns out that, at least in the Columbia River, the jetties have the major impact on coastal morphology. And in fact, the beaches, particularly to the north of the Columbia River, experienced significant progradation because of the jetties and that human influence. And
Oh, Professor, I was going to have to halt it there. Okay. We're just about out of time, but thank you for joining us today. Professor Ruggiero from Oregon State University talking about beach erosion.